If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
You are listening to the White Sox Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust. Chuck Garfine coming to you from Guaranteed Rate Field with Vinny Duber. We're here during White Sox batting practice. And we're going to talk about what we've been seeing, what we've been hearing as the White Sox try to get this season underway in 2020. It's a little surreal. We're both wearing masks, looking at each other, but we're talking White Sox baseball.
Here we go. This is what podcasting is like in 2020 now. We're sitting about five seats apart here in the stands. We're straddling sections 131 and 132 to give fans a nice little visual here. We're right behind home plate. It's a heck of a view, but there's nobody in the ballpark here.
There's nobody in the ballpark, but we are going to fill the park with our thoughts and words and opinions about White Sox baseball. Here we go.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That ball hit deep, way back! Deep to left field!
Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark!
You can't put it on the ball! Yes!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk podcast.
All right, it's a hot, sunny day in Chicago. We are watching White Sox baseball. Not a game, but they're working out here. And there's things to talk about, impressions. And as we're here, there's Edwin Encarnacion taking batting practice. And that's a thing of beauty, just watching him. The guy's just crushing balls deep into the seats. I can't wait for the real thing to begin with him.
The offense looks good when they're, they haven't faced any real pitchers yet or opposing pitchers yet. But the offense sure looks good, man. That lineup was really rebuilt during the offseason, right? And we've been sitting around for 3 months waiting to see what it could look like. And we're finally getting a little bit of a taste here. But, I mean, Encarnacion, Abreu, Robert, Mazzara, Anderson, Eloy. I mean, this lineup is kind of stacked, Chuck.
It is. I just saw Luis Robert gliding like a gazelle in center field to catch a ball. Interesting, as we sit here right now, now, Yoan Moncada is not here yet. And at third base right now is Andrew Vaughn. We have not heard, as we are taping this, we have not heard from Ricky Renteria. I'm assuming someone's going to ask him a question about this. Maybe it'll be you, Vinny.
Chuck, are you more interested in Andrew Vaughn at third base or Yermin Mercedes at second base right now?
Yermin Mercedes at second base. That's right. He is there right now. I think he actually has played some second base.
I got to be honest. I still am nostalgic for the days of Jose Abreu at shortstop. I wish that would materialize once before his big league career is over. But we're getting a look at the White Sox utility players, I guess you could call them right now.
Yeah. Now, there might be nothing to this, Andrew Vaughn at third base. But there might be something to it for now. I mean, doesn't hurt, right?
I suppose. I don't think we're going to see Andrew Vaughn play third base in a Major League Baseball game in 2020. But you never know, Chuck. This is a weird season. We're talking all about the ways that the pitching staff could be deployed, whether we're going to see Michael Kopech in the late innings or Carlos Rodon come in as a reliever in the fourth, or all these crazy possibilities that you could do with the pitching staff. Maybe that applies to the guys on the field as well.
Now, if I saw Edwin Encarnacion at third base, I would think, okay, he's doing the Jose Abreu thing. He's just hanging out. And Edwin, please leave the position. I don't want you to get hurt. Andrew Vaughn over there, it's just something to talk about. Who's at shortstop? I can't see who that is from here.
Is that perhaps Andrew Romine, Chuck?
That is Andrew Romine. Well done. That would be actually a great future random White Sox jersey for someone to own in the future.
He's got to get into the big league roster first.
We'll see
what happens at the end of summer.
Although
camp
sometimes
here,
spring training names end up in the garage sale.
Sure, sure.
So there might be an Andrew Romine jersey going around these days or in the future. So what's the takeaway been for you? Just actually, let's talk about this, covering the White Sox in this scenario as a member of the media. It's a definitely a different experience for sure.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, we're so used to our jobs being going up to guys in the clubhouse and talking to them and you know, getting those one-on-one interviews and even the group sessions, you know, really being able to read people's faces. You know, that's something that you can't do with masks on, which is tough. A lot of the times so far, and we've only been here for a week now, seeing summer camp, but we're limited to 2-hour windows here in the ballpark, and you have to go home to do interviews. So we're coming to the ballpark, we're watching guys work out, then you go home, and then you do the interviews from your apartment or your house, and it's different. It's definitely different. I do think, though, that we're still seeing a lot of the same things and hearing a lot of the same things from the guys that we heard in spring training when it comes to the confidence and the expectations going into this season. I think the White Sox are well positioned going into this season, and I think that comes through when you're hearing from these guys.
All right, so Edwin Encarnacion is up. This is just batting practice, not live batting practice. And he just homered. You might have heard a clank from one of the seats in left field.
That's what he does, Chuck. That's why he's here. He's here to slug.
Yes, he is. What's it going to be like? Actually, I'm just watching. Okay, sorry, I'm distracted here. Did you see this Luis Robert just do?
Luis Robert has Chuck totally in a different time zone right now. You're hearing these long pauses while Chuck tracks every step that Luis Robert takes in center field. And I know there's a lot of White Sox fans listening that can't blame you, Chuck.
How far do you think Luis Robert just ran to get that ball?
Oh, I just got that.
In spring training, not last year, but 2 years ago, when Luis Robert was at big league camp in 2019, Zach Collins told me that they were out doing drills, and Ricky said that he's got such good range.
Look at
Luis
that catch
Robert.
He just made.
Everyone, fans,
Mike Capozzo is our photographer. Just stay on the guy in center field and just follow him, and we'll have video of it that we can put out later today.
Ricky said in this during practice that he's got such good range that he's playing all three positions at once out there in the outfield. And I don't think that was necessarily meant entirely as the compliment that it sounds like at first blush, you know, talking about how he's got to learn to communicate and all of this. But Luis Robert is currently trying to catch a ball through the tunnel in center field. So he is a good 20 feet past the outfield wall, still trying
to
track
that down. The wall is open.
Down.
We should probably say
that. Yes, the wall is
he's
open.
Not,
he did not run through it.
He did not run through it.
Or over it.
No, but what he's doing is he's covering a ton of ground and making it look easy.
And that's a big deal. I mean, obviously, Adam Engel is a really good defensive center fielder. He's a Gold Glove finalist. We know what he can do with the glove. But Luis Robert being out there every day providing the offense and the defense, it's this toolbox that he has is just full. He can do everything. You can see him running around the bases, makes it look, you've used the words, makes it look so easy.
Yeah.
Nick Madrigal said that to me in spring training. I mean, this is a guy who is so good that it looks effortless at times.
Yeah, so not to make this the Luis Robert fan club podcast, but maybe it's becoming that. About 15 minutes ago, he was taking batting practice. Now, this is BP, not live BP. He's facing one of the batting practice pitchers. So keep that in mind. But he effortlessly hit two home runs to right center about 10 rows deep, like it was nothing.
He's good.
You think he's good?
He's pretty good.
Okay.
And that's one of the, I think that's a big one. Excuse me. That's been one of the biggest talking points during summer camp so far, is kind of asking everybody else on the team, not only how good is Luis Robert, but how is Luis Robert going to fare in a 60-game season? Because one of the big things that jumped out to me when this layoff started was Luis Robert was going to have 6 months to get used to big league pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has 2 months. Is that going to be enough time to make those adjustments? And everybody you hear from, be it Eloy Jimenez, Yoan Moncada, Jose Abreu, they have no concern that he's going to be able to do that. Luis Robert himself was asked that question in his media session the other day, and he said, well, you know, if there are adjustments that I need to make, I will do my best to make them as fast as possible, but I anticipate starting the season hot. You know what I mean? And it's just like this confidence, we've heard it before from Eloy and Kopech and guys like that. Luis Robert is in that category, and they think that Luis Robert is so good that that whole adjustment period isn't even going to be necessary.
We also heard from Gio Gonzalez, who if you know his story, was drafted by the White Sox, traded by the White Sox twice, acquired by the White Sox after they traded him once to Philly, and then they signed him in the offseason. And you're thinking, okay, finally, Gio Gonzalez, as there's Luis Robert making another...
Chuck, you might need to turn your back to
the
field.
I know. I can't... Mike Capozzi, did you get that? Mike, just stay on Luis Robert. That's all we got to do. So, and Mike, I wasn't trying to throw you under the bus. Mike is trying to shoot an entire practice covering all... There's so much going on here. I think this. Let's just follow him the whole time at this until we get some more catches. Nomar Mazzara with a nice catch. I'm doing like a podcast play-by-play.
Play-by-play of batting practice.
But you know what?
It's something.
We are so starved for baseball, starved for live action. I feel like if I was to ignore what I'm seeing and just be looking at you, Vinny Duber, with your mask on, I would not be doing a disservice to White Sox fans who can't get enough of what's going on with real White Sox baseball.
You are not wrong. And I think it's very interesting that actual real White Sox baseball is not very far off. Opening day's 2 weeks from Friday. I mean, we are coming right up on it, and that's kind of another one of the big storylines here is this 3 weeks of summer camp going to be enough for guys to get ready? Or even, not necessarily is it going to be enough, but just what are guys going to look like after only 3 weeks because of the months-long layoff? You think in a normal season, spring training is almost 2 months long for the pitchers, for the starting pitchers. Now they've only got 3 weeks. What shape is pitching going to be in? What are we going to see from starting pitchers, not just on the White Sox, but league-wide? And are the hitters going to be able to take advantage, or is it going to be like the start of a regular season where the hitters are the ones that are adjusting to the pitchers? Rick Renneria has brought up both possibilities, and I think it's going to be very interesting to see. I don't think anybody can predict right now, but I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens once the games start being played here at the end of the month.
Yeah, we don't know about Michael Kopech, what his situation is. There's no timetable, but Rick Hahn said he's healthy. Then you have Carlos Rodon, who, if you listen to the last podcast I had with Lucas Giolito, he's like, what everyone's been raving about, he has not seen Rodon because Rodon's been in the afternoon and Giolito's in the morning. He says that what he has heard about Rodon is like, it's, he's looking really, really good. So now he's in the equation. We don't know how that's gonna play out.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
But I want to actually get to the schedule because we haven't talked about it on the podcast, which is three games against the Twins right off the bat. And it's almost as if I'm like reading between the lines, but Major League Baseball deciding, you know what? We believe in the White Sox coming. Let's schedule them with the Twins right off the bat. Or am I reading too much into it?
Well, I think you're reading too much into it. But
thank you.
I would say that there's a counter argument to be made there that is, let's see if the White Sox are ready for this.
Okay.
Three games against the Twins, followed by four against the Indians.
Oh, it's four?
I think it's four.
Three or four?
Maybe it's three, but
three,
whatever.
Three and a half.
It's Twins and Indians.
Three and a half against the Indians.
Twins and Indians right off the bat. Those are the two teams they've got to jump if they want to get to the top of the AL Central. We thought that over a six-month season they would be capable of doing that, but that they would get the benefits of being able to adjust or find themselves however X many games into a 162-game season. They don't have that luxury in 60 games, and so that first week is crucial. All of a sudden, the first week of the season could tell you everything you need to know about where the White Sox are going this year. Not because the team, the quality of the team on July 24th is going to be what it is at the end of September or is going to be what it is for the years moving forward, but because you lose six games in your first seven or something like that, it's going to be very difficult to claw back into the playoff.
Yeah, you can put a team in a hole right off the bat, or that team can put you in a hole right off the bat. If you lose two of three, no big deal. You get swept all of a sudden against a division rival in this season, that has some meaning to it than a normal, oh, it's May and I just got swept, no big deal.
And I remember sitting in the seats at Camelback Ranch with you however many months ago when we did a predictions podcast of where the White Sox were going to be, and I thought they were capable of winning the division. I'll stick by that. I will say that they are my predicted division winner, but we're going to find out early whether that's going to come true or even be possible.
I mentioned Gio Gonzalez, and then I got distracted by Luis Robert, who has just not done anything in the last 5 minutes for me to be distracted once again. But we are on him, just in case something happens. And it's just funny because it took so long for Gio to finally get here to the majors with the White Sox. And then a freaking pandemic happens. And he admitted, speaking with the media, that like, and he was talking with Don Cooper and Kenny Williams about it the other day here, that he really thought, man, I there's something in, like, maybe the baseball gods don't want me to play here for the White Sox, but he's been dreaming about this day. And he was in the bullpen with Don Cooper, and he said, the last time I was actually on this mound in the bullpen was when I was a rookie in 2004. Not even a rookie, I was just drafted, and he came here to visit the team, and now he's finally back here. He's so close, and yet so far.
Yeah, really. I mean, he's another guy to me that really Ricky could decide to use in a variety of ways, right? I mean, he was coming out of spring training, supposed to. He was scheduled to come out of spring training as probably the fifth starter on this team, and or the fourth, whatever you want to say. But he was a guy that when the middle of the season came along and Michael Kopech and Carlos Rodon got here, maybe he would be a guy who would be moved to a swingman role or a bullpen role. Well, those guys are here now, or supposed to be here. We'll see in the case of Michael Kopech. But those guys are options now for Rick Renteria, and we'll see what he decides to do with the pitching staff. Gio Gonzalez could be one of those piggybacking guys, you know, a guy who Dallas Keuchel goes out there and throws three innings. Gio Gonzalez comes in, throws another three. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Gio Gonzalez starts the game and Rodon follows him up. Or maybe one of these guys, man, Kopech with the triple-digit velocity would be nice in a late-inning situation, wouldn't he? I mean, there are so many options here, and Gio Gonzalez is certainly a part of that. But, yes, listening to him talk about finally getting to throw a pitch for this team, it showed the respect that he still has had for this organization even after he was dealt away from it multiple times.
Yeah, and he said that he's about 95% better physically with his shoulder than he was during spring training, because that's what he was battling back then. And, you know, I think it was, I don't want to say it was much worse than what we thought, but from the sounds of him talking here, it sounded like he probably wasn't going to be ready in time for the opening day back in spring training.
Yeah, I think the White Sox were probably still in wait-and-see mode at that point to just kind of see how things were going to progress. And it sounds like he went back to Florida during the layoff and needed to have some significant I don't want to say work, there were no procedures, but significant training.
Strengthening.
Significant strengthening to get it back to where he wanted it to be. And perhaps that's another silver lining to this whole 60-game situation for the White Sox, is that they have him at closer to full strength for the entire season as opposed to just part of it.
All right, so I was out here yesterday. You were here, too. You haven't missed a day. You've been here every day.
Every day, Chuck.
The seat that you're in should be the Vinny Duber seat.
You almost said memorial. Let's not go that far quite yet.
So
not something to joke about during a pandemic.
Wait, you really thought I was going to say memorial? Like,
no.
did I, you know, can you like read my mind?
Maybe I can.
Well, you couldn't, because I was not going to say memorial.
I can't read your mouth, that's for sure.
No, you cannot read my mouth. I can't read. Ba-dum-bum. What was I talking about? Oh, so Nick Madrigal was, there was live batting practice yesterday. Alex Colome was on the mound. And I think the other one was Kelvin Herrera. And Madrigal was hitting his Nick Madrigal liners around the field, which was, you know, cool to see. At this point, when you are facing live pitching, normally the pitchers have the advantage, and you don't see too many hitters really crush the ball or hit the ball on the nose. But Madrigal was doing that.
Yeah, I think we've seen, speaking to that kind of difference, I think we've seen kind of both sides have their moments, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember the other day we were watching Dylan Cease versus Luis Robert, which is a White Sox fan's dream right there. But, White Sox fans' dream pairing, not necessarily facing each other. But, Luis Robert smokes a ball to center field, bounces off the warning track, hits the wall. And then shortly thereafter, Dylan Cease strikes him out. You know what I mean? I think we've seen that on both sides where guys will hit a home run, guys will hit balls out, and then they'll, the next time up, they'll walk back after swinging and missing. I think we're seeing both, and that could maybe be a harbinger for the season. Who knows? But it's good to see everybody getting their licks in, so to speak.
So later today, Jason Benetti and I are going to tape later today, you'll be able to see, all you White Sox fans can see, the simulated White Sox game that Jason Benetti and I are taping. We are taping it this week, and it's going to be a doubleheader between the White Sox and the Cubs.
Let's play two.
One of the pitching matchups is going to be Jose Quintana against Dylan Cease.
Have you edited the roster in the game to remove nerves from Jose Quintana's thumb?
Yes, we have.
Oh, wow. That's
you can do anything in the animated world.
That's a realistic game. Major props to MLB The Show.
Right. So I texted Dylan and I asked him, we're having you pitch against Jose Quintana and the Cubs in our MLB The Show sim game tomorrow. Any thoughts heading into this big animated game against your former team? His answer was, I guess we're about to find out who won the trade.
Hey, these guys don't forget, right?
They know.
We saw how pumped Eloy Jimenez was last year to be playing at Wrigley Field. These guys know what is up.
Yeah, but like it's funny because you mentioned Cease. I mean, when I saw Cease and Jimenez facing each other, of course I'm going to go to the Jose Quintana trade.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the fruits of that could really come to bloom this year. I mean, you look back last year, obviously, that huge moment at Wrigley Field for Eloy Jimenez, and the guy hits 31 home runs as a rookie, but his rookie season was hardly like, a runaway success. You know what I mean? Like, he struggled at the beginning of the season. He admitted it, and then he really turned it on. He figured things out by that final month, and he really showed you what kind of player he could be, if you extrapolate that over the course of a full season. Dylan Cease, the results last year weren't great, but everybody continues to rave about his stuff, the kind of movement on his pitches. Gio Gonzalez was raving about it yesterday. So maybe this year is the year he really settles in, figures out, and turns in kind of a bounce back performance a la Lucas Giolito last season. If the Cubs don't even have Jose Quintana for most of the season, that trade could be looking really lopsided by the end of 2020.
He's a free agent after this season.
Yeah.
Ouch. A couple of developments while Vinny was talking, and I like Vinny when he talks.
Well, you're one of the only ones, Chuck.
I'm one of the few. No. Leury Garcia, this batting practice is still going on. He's playing second base. He ran about 45, 50 yards almost into right field to catch a ball. And I don't know why Nomar Mazar just let him do it, but he just did.
It's batting practice.
Yeah. And I'm realizing that the player out there in center field with Luis Robert, I think that's Jose Abreu. That is Jose Abreu in center field.
There
right
you
now.
Go. Jose's going to play all nine positions in batting practice by the end of summer camp, I think.
And the player who is retrieving, the person who is retrieving baseballs from the outfield, normally, I shouldn't say normally, 100% of the time it's a coach. Today it's Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson is retrieving balls. Every ball that goes in the outfield, it gets thrown to Tim Anderson.
All hands on deck. Here's one you're not going to see during the season, folks. Jose Abreu with the throw from left center to quote-unquote cutoff man Tim Anderson in shallow center field.
What a crazy world we're living in. Someone is throwing in the bullpen. I think that's Dylan Cease, actually, who we were talking about. Yeah, that's Cease throwing a pen. So there's going to be a simulated game out here later today that Giolito is throwing in. You want to describe what a simulated game is?
I'll do my best. I'm not sure I've watched too many. They're not the most thrilling thing in the world. But basically what they're going to do is they're going to put players out at the positions. They're going to let Lucas pitch to hitters, and they're going to swing away or take pitches as if it's a game. if they ground out to second base, if they get a hit in the center field, those will count. I imagine the runners will go to the base. Maybe not. We'll see.
Now, do they count in your on the Baseball Reference page?
Baseball Reference is so good. They might have a tab, simulated game log. Who knows? But yeah, so basically it gives a chance for the pitchers to experience a game-like situation. And then starting tomorrow, I believe we're going to have three straight days of intra-squad games.
Yes.
Which are going to be even more realistic than a simulated game. And Ricky Renneria told us yesterday that he thinks those are going to go about 7 innings apiece.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to wrap things up pretty soon here, but who's running around? This is Nicky Delmonico running from second to third. He stops short of home plate.
Well, there's a big cage in the way. If he tried to slide, he might hurt himself. So.
Yeah. But anyway, this has been fun. Just kind of, it's fun not only just talking White Sox baseball, but seeing White Sox baseball. And so I wanted to kind of bring the visuals of what we're seeing to all of you.
To this audio medium.
To this. Yes. There's a catch by Luis Robert, by the way.
If you're going to say every one, we're going to be here all day.
Well, maybe we should. Maybe we should just stay here and just watch, describe every single thing that Luis Robert is doing. Right now, he's just standing.
We've covered a lot of it so far in this, in however long we've been talking. But
yeah. Now, so there's it's him, it's Abreu, and I can't tell who the third person is out there in center field. But
Eloy.
It's Eloy. So now imagine an outfield where the White Sox say, you know what, we're not even going to have a left fielder or a right fielder. We're just going to put Abreu, Robert, and Jimenez in center field.
See, what I'm taking from this is imagine an outfield where there's a left fielder, a right fielder, and three center fielders.
It can't be beat.
Every gap is covered.
Right. Now,
And you got Ricky in right center, so there you go.
Yeah, well, that's Ricky Renteria with his mask on in right field, and he's got a bat.
He's going to hit him back.
Yeah. So if you were going to play three center fielders, so you would you get rid of your second baseman and shortstop?
Depends on if it's a fly ball hitting team or a ground ball hitting team, Chuck. You know, you got to look at the data. You've got to look at that, and you've got to see, you know, if it's the Minnesota Twins, you're going to want every inch of that outfield covered. But Luis Robert might be able to do it himself, so who knows?
All right. Well, in case we've come close to having this podcast go off the rails, I think I'm just going to stop it right here and right now, because I'm waiting for Luis Robert to do one more thing. I can make it up and no one would know.
Well, that really defeats the whole purpose then, doesn't it, Chuck? Now everyone at home is thinking that this entire podcast could be a lie.
Okay, trust me. I have been describing every single thing that I've been seeing, and it has been, I mean, you back me up as my witness.
Yes.
Have I exaggerated what I've been seeing from Luis Robert here today?
To this point, there has been no misleading. There you go, Chuck. He's going to catch a routine fly ball.
There we go. Let's end the podcast on a catch by Luis Robert that is routine for him. You and I would not be routine.
Well, certainly not me, no. If I remember back to my brief Little League career, any fly ball, I was falling down.
Okay. Let's try to imagine that. Yep, I see it.
Yeah.
I see it.
I think you had a couple good catches.
We got a couple good catches. All right, so we'll probably put that on social media and what else happens from here on in. So that's going to be a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust from Guaranteed Rate Field and White Sox Practice for Vinny Duber and Mike Capozzo. And there's a catch again by Luis Robert.
Right at him.
Right at him. Brought to you by Wintrust, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to the special White Sox webpage. It is www.wintrust.com/Sox. Huck Harrelson, take it away.
Thanks, our Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.